You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 3. Got quite a bit of an episode, as always. A lot of random things going on. So I will jump into it. Most of the usual stuff. So we have their theme, news, entertainment, a TV show review, Star Wars profile, and a You Can Relax segment, which will serve as kind of a second TV show review based on the show I'm reviewing. No app review or feature review or anything like that for this week. Didn't really have a chance to review anything new. So I'm skipping on that for this week. But as always, all prior video reviews and reviews and things like that are on still up on YouTube, youtube.com/patel01. So if you want to check them out, they're always available there. And there's a link in the show notes to that as well. But with that brief and quick introduction, I'll jump right into this week's episode. So to start it off with the theme, I wanted to talk about In the Money. This is a term used in more in the finance and stock and options world, where call option strike price is below the market price of that asset, or the strike price of that put option is above the market price of that underlying asset. So that is a really long explanation to say that when you are looking to buy or sell an option, a stock option, or even as an option in general, you're considered to be in the money, or it's worth selling or buying that option because the price that you want to sell at is in a range where it is below the market price of whatever the product or property you're buying is or selling, or it's above that put option, so there's that certain range that is ideal to buy, or basically you're in a good condition to buy or sell that option. And it does not necessarily mean that you're going to make money, but it means that getting rid of it will be, it's in a good position for you to get rid of that. So you may make money depending on when you bought, or when you're buying, or when you're selling that option. But at the very least, you're in a position where you are not necessarily going to be losing money. I believe there are conditions where you could, but it all depends on the bigger picture of your portfolio. The general rule, though, when you are in the money is that it gives the buyer the right, but not the obligation of buying or selling that security at the strike price before the expiration date. So not all options have this ability of buying or selling, but if it does have that option to buy or sell outside the expiration date, then it can be an interesting place for trading. So with that, I will jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Chrome for Android got a bunch of updates, including improvements in background video playback, so you can listen to videos while your browser window is closed, so you can go about doing other things. But also a download feature for websites. So if you're reading a site and you have to leave and you're not going to have internet connection, or it's going to be slow or spotty, or you don't want to use your mobile data connection, then you can download that website and it will be saved for offline usage to read and view later. Google Search for iOS got an update to add incognito mode and inline YouTube viewing support. So you can now more easily have private browsing and watch YouTube videos. This week, Xiaomi announced released two phones for the Chinese market, the Mi 5S and the Mi 5S Plus. The Mi 5S is the first smartphone with the Snapdragon 821 processor, so the latest in a Snapdragon line of processors. It also comes with a 5.15 inch screen, 32 milliamp hour battery, 12 megapixel rear camera with 4K video recording, a 4 megapixel front camera, 3 or 4 gigs of RAM, the 3 gigabyte option. It comes with 64 gigs of storage. The 4 gigabyte RAM option comes with 128 gigabytes of storage. The Mi 5S Plus also comes with the Snapdragon 821 processor at 2.35 gigahertz of speed. Similar options here with a 4 gigabyte of RAM device comes with 64 gigs of storage. The 6 gigabyte model, or 6 gigs of RAM model, comes with 128 gigabytes of storage. It also comes with a 3800 milliamp hour battery, two rear 13 megapixel cameras, and a 4 megapixel front camera. I didn't see what version of Android it comes with, so I'll assume Android 6, but mostly because I didn't see anything about it coming with Android 7, don't hold me to that, as I am not 100% sure. In other news, this is more Star Wars news related, but also a game that's available for Android and iOS, but Star Wars Commander got an update this week with content from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So it adds, or the most notable feature it adds is upgradable unit types. So it's kind of, so rather than just upgrade or having a single type of troop or base, you can now upgrade various options within each of those areas. So things like stormtroopers can now be upgraded to snowtroopers or imperial stormtroopers, and then you can have upgrades to your base and various defenses as well to have your additional options. So your base can have additional clamps for more strength. Your walls can get a health bonus as well. Your various defenses can get more power, things like that. So when you're able to get it, you'll have to build the armory. It's, I think, on the Empire side, I think it's 10,000 credits. I'm not sure on the Republic or basically on the Republic side, I'm not sure about how much it costs on that side. But at least on the Empire side, you can do things like get additional base defenses and things like that. So it's a definite plus. So definitely worth checking out. I'm enjoying it so far. I have gotten the base clamps update, so it gets additional health there. In order to get the parts you need, you do need to complete the daily objectives, or at least one of the daily objectives to get those power-ups, and then depending on what you get, you can activate different base defenses. In other news, though, Google launched a new blog called The Keyword. It's at blog.google, and essentially what this does is it consolidates all of their various blogs across all of their different properties into one place, so you can get all their different announcements in one place. So when you visit the blog, you can get, they already have a bunch of posts up from recent posts, and then at the top right, there's a menu where you can learn more about it, as well as get the RSS feed, so you can subscribe anywhere you want. And finally, Google Calendar got an update, or Google Maps got an update to now have or show automatically show Google Calendar events in Maps, so you can easily get directions to your various events. But that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into the entertainment segment. So to start it off with some news, Dan Brown's next Robert Langdon novel, Origin, is set to release in September of 2017, so look out for that novel coming soon. Based on the article I read, it sounded like it was going to be another Da Vinci Code novel, but based on the summary I was reading, it seems like it might just be another Robert Langdon adventure with more stakes or higher stakes and drama and intensity and all of that. But I'm going to wait a little bit more and reread that post just to see where, in case I misread that, but it is going to be another Dan Brown novel and it will release next year. As far as what I watched this week, aside from continuing to watch Stargate SG-1, I'm actually almost done with season 4, so it's actually perfect timing, because American Horror Story, I think season 5 Hotel, is going to be releasing on Amazon Prime in the coming week, so I'm going to start watching that as well. This is a break from Stargate SG-1, and I don't have to worry about any overlap there, but that's neither here nor there. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch The Magnificent Seven last weekend. That's a movie with Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke, Chris Pratt, and I forget the guy from, I think it's Law and Order, one of the Law and Order or one of the CSIs, but it is actually a very, very good Western. It's nothing necessarily new as far as storyline or plot or anything like that. It's your traditional classic Western in modern, well, not necessarily modern times, but your classic traditional Western, but with modern visuals as far as HD, very well done and portrayed and all of that. It's very enjoyable, very good to watch. It's, I think it was directed by the same guy who directed Training Day. You do have that Denzel Washington, Ethan Hawke connection from that movie. So it was, I actually really enjoyed it. It was very well done. It was a remake of the, I think, 60s movie of the same name, which was a remake of the, I forget which, I think I want to say the Japanese movie Seven Samurai. So I actually haven't had a chance to watch either one of those, but I do plan to go back and watch those. But I hear it's a really good and faithful remake of the Seven, or Magnificent Seven from the 60s. So I do plan on going back to watch those. But if you're in the mood for a good Western, then it is worth watching. It does get bloody and gory and violent, but that is part of it, and it is good to watch. I also had a chance to watch Fear the Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 13, Date of Death. Just your standard continuation of the season. I think the coming episode is a two-hour season finale, so look out for that or catch up if you plan to watch it live. But we're basically building up to what I imagine everybody meeting up at the hotel. We do have Cliff Clavin, the father guy, the stepfather guy, getting back to the hotel. We have the bros out and about in their truck. We have basically everyone else and the all those other guys at the who give out all the inventory and health and medicines and all that, trying to figure out where the community is. So we'll see what happens in the season finale. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 2, Burn the Witch. Pretty standard episode here. The only notable thing here is that we finally have regular Bruce Wayne meeting doppelganger Bruce Wayne. So we'll see how he deals with that and how they're going to proceed there. We have the monster still running around and Penguin's inciting of the monsters and his interactions with and his resolution with Fish Mooney. I also had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 2, Meet the New Boss. So we do actually meet the new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's an interesting guy in that he's not only concerned with S.H.I.E.L.D. and respecting the existing team, but also creating a PR and public face for the agency, so it goes over well when they go public again. And then how they're dealing with the Ghost Rider, Daisy's meeting back up with Mac and Fitz, so it's getting to be a very interesting season there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's TV show review. So I had a chance to watch Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 1 and Episode 2, Steps into Shadow. The episode itself, released on September 24, 2016, had a runtime of approximately 43 minutes, 60 minutes with commercials. A summary of the episode is that a rebel mission led by a more powerful Ezra goes awry, Kanan returns to help the Ghost crew, and Grand Admiral Thrawn emerges as a new threat. So overall, it was a good episode. It was a good reintroduction to all of the characters, where they're at, what they're doing, and what the season going forward is, or what we can expect in the short term for the season going forward. So I did like that we got to see, or Grand Admiral Thrawn is officially back as a canon character in the Star Wars universe. And he's going to be that character who takes a macro overview look of the rebellion in general. So while the rest of the Empire, the various other people who were trying to squash the rebels were only looking at the pockets of resistance, he's actually trying to see how everything is connected and seeing the various points have to be more than coincidence at what they're doing. So he aims to be more proactive and aggressive in his stance against the rebellion. We also see Ezra's balance between the light and dark side of the Force, notably in his use of the Sith holocron to enhance his powers because Kanan's not there to guide him, and he's trying to take the stance that he's in full control, even though we see that what he's doing is making him more aggressive and making him more of a dark side user. So it's good to see that Kanan at the moment is able to bring him back and tell him that there are alternatives to help Ezra achieve what he wants and also help his friends. And we also get a first look at a creature that uses the Force but lives in the middle of the Force between the light and the dark side, so more like the Gray Jedi. So this character it helps Kanan see that even though he's blind, he can see and there are other ways to help his friends without turning his back on them, and what he's looking for may have already been realized, so that actually guides him into going back to help his friends, and that he can be still be a useful part and productive part of the rebellion. So that basically rounds out the bulk of the episode. Overall, it was very well done. The animations, I'll have to see how it compares to prior seasons, but the animations are good as always. I like where everyone's at and what they're doing, and I also like that we still have Hondo as a character in the Star Wars Rebels time frame and universe, and he is one of my, I do like him as a character. Initially, you would think he's hit or miss, but I do like him as a contrast to everybody else, in that he can't necessarily be trusted, and he aims to serve his own purposes, so whatever he says needs to be taken, whatever he says needs to be taken out of context, and that he may be serving his own needs, and he has his own agenda. So on that note, I will jump right into the Star Wars profile. So I will talk about it, but it relates more to the You Can Relax segment than anything else. So when I get there, I will make that connection. But the profile I wanted to talk about this week was, or is, Qui-Gon Jinn. He is the noted Jedi Master from Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. We hear his Force Ghost voiced in Star Wars Episode 2, The Clone Wars, as well as meet back up with him in the TV series The Clone Wars, or Star Wars The Clone Wars. So he does have more than multiple appearances, and he is still a canon character. He was born 60 years prior to the Battle of Yavin and stands 6.3 feet tall. He was a Jedi Knight and Master during the era of the Old Republic. We did see him die prior to the formation of the Empire, but he did still have an influence on the characters during the conclusion of the Old Republic. A bit of background about him: he was trained by Count Dooku, so there's that connection tying Count Dooku to Qui-Gon, to Obi-Wan, to Anakin. So he did ultimately go on to train Obi-Wan Kenobi and briefly Anakin Skywalker during the time he was alive, and arguably minimal influence. His notable feature is, or Force feature and power, was that he was in tune with the living Force, so he was close to what was currently going on, rather than Obi-Wan's more general and broad look at what the Force was doing overall. So he did have that, he had that tendency to connect with creatures wherever he went. His notable achievement in general was finding arguably the chosen one of the Force, so Anakin Skywalker. This did introduce us in the Star Wars universe to midichlorians as an indicator to a Force user's power in the Force, but it did not necessarily indicate what they could do with the Force. So while, for example, Yoda and Anakin may have been stronger Force users, it also guided what they could do in general. So Anakin was more of an aggressive, balanced Force user, while Yoda was, for example, had connection as far as looking into the future and the past, while Obi-Wan may have had a lower midichlorian count, but he was also a more balanced Force user. Qui-Gon was aggressive and had more lightsaber focused combat skills, so things like that. Qui-Gon found him because he had found Anakin because he had a faster than normal reflexes for a human and able to see events before they happened. So those were kind of the clues that caused him to question if Anakin could be a Force user. A fun fact about him, though, was that he studied the eternal consciousness of the Force to learn about life after death. He learned about this from the Force priestesses that lived as beings that passed through the living Force into the cosmic Force. So when he learned about this, he studied it even more and used this knowledge to pass this knowledge on to Yoda, who eventually passed it along to Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was also known as a maverick in the Jedi Order for following his own will, even if it felt better served the Order than the wisdom of the Jedi Council. So that was, as we saw in Episode 1, the reason he was not selected to be on the Jedi Council, because he didn't necessarily follow the rules, but he did act in what he considered in his perspective to be acting in to the benefit of the Jedi Order, and he did prefer the light side of the Force, so that kept him in check there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the You Can Relax segment. So in this case, the segment is of how I watched the MacGyver reboot series. So when I watched it, I consider how I could include that in the episode. And because I already was watching Star Wars Rebels for the TV show review, I thought I would also get a chance to watch the original MacGyver pilot to compare and see how they would... how they played against each other. I know the new MacGyver reboot is a prequel to the original series, so how they, what elements they kept, why I like, dislike, things like that. And what looking at MacGyver and his hair, it kind of reminded me of Qui-Gon Jinn, so that is how I made that pick for the Star Wars profile this week. So I actually enjoyed the MacGyver reboot pilot. It was very enjoyable, it went by really fast. Among the things I liked, I'm glad they kept the Swiss Army knife, the voiceovers of what he was doing, the paperclip, and all of that. So he kind of explained what he was doing, what he was doing, and the things we often miss by looking, or just by looking around at everyday items. The original series felt like it had a little bit more of a voiceover, but in general, I liked what they did there. I'm glad they kept the elements from the original series, but integrated them into a more modern sense, even though it's a prequel. If you look at a general overview, I like that Matthew Till looks enough like a younger Richard Dean Anderson as his MacGyver. So we had the hair, the general smile, looks, actions, mannerisms, and things like that. So you can see the comparisons there. So overall, it was a good episode. The only thing I really didn't like was that I liked the theme music from the original series. So I know they wanted to modernize that probably a little bit for this show, but I probably would have wanted a little bit more of that music to stay in this reboot. So I don't know if maybe it's a licensing issue or they wanted to just keep it short as a brief introduction. But that's basically all there is to that. So for me, it all comes down to if you like reboots or prequels in this case of an old series, then you'll probably like it. If you're not much for it, then it might just seem too flashy and pretty and things like that. But at the moment, because MacGyver, the original series, is on Amazon Prime, what I'm planning to do at the moment is as I watch the new series every week, I'm going to go back and watch the same episode number from the original series. So in this case, season 1, episode 2, I'll watch when I can this weekend. And then the same over the next week, I'll watch the same thing of the original series and kind of compare the two as I go along, see how they deviate and see kind of how they take the new series. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always find me on or email me via email at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can always get screencasts at youtube.com/PatelN01. All subscription links, links of prior episodes and all of that good stuff can be found at PatelN01.com. If you like us and you want to give us a rating, be sure to, you can find us on YouTube or iTunes for the 5-star rating there. Thumbs up us on Google Play Music. And of course, we're available on Stitcher via RSS, SoundCloud, same thing, PatelN01. So you can listen there as well. If you want to help support the show and the network, you can visit us at geek-io.net to get all of the links and episodes for all of the various other shows on the network, as well as the various sponsor links, Patreon, and all of that good stuff. But of course, if you want to get an early look at what's coming up in each week's episode, be sure to support us on our Patreon at patreon.com/patelN01 around every Monday or Tuesday or so, or by every Monday or Tuesday. I'll have the quick and easy episode on post up so you can listen in on what's coming up and share your ideas there. All you have to do is support the show on Patreon at whatever level you want. And of course, if you want to give one-time support, there's always PayPal, paypal.me/patelN01. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.